I'm wrestling, do not weep for me. Celebrate what I am. Celebrate what I have been. Celebrate what I represent. And celebrate the many ways I have impacted your life. I will survive this test as I have survived others. I am forever etched into the very fiber of all mankind. The world needs me. Time is on my side. History guarantees me. I am wrestling. Do not wait for me.
What's up, everyone? You're listening to episode number 82 of the T-Row and Funky Show, brought to you, as always, by Defend Soap, Defend What You Have Built, and Dahlmer Mats. Tommy, we got a special episode, so if those of you guys who do not know, and you will not be listening to this live, we are currently watching the 97-kilogram bronze medal match, some hairy gentlemen, and Snyder vs. Adjulayev is up next, so we're going to do this live. Tommy, I know you're at Ruta's headquarters, and you got...
we're at the Rudis HQ. We've got track wrestling streaming onto our television, and I've got nine little wrestlers ages 6 through 10 with me and their parents, and we are enjoying the finals. We've been here for a couple hours having a blast.
Nice. Actually, this is Georgi Kateyev. Did you wrestle Georgi Kateyev? Because he's been around forever.
I never wrestled Kateyev, but I worked out with him when I was in a training camp in Vladikavkaz 2011.
Oh, really?
At the time, he was a weight below. Yeah. But I do remember working out with his hairy back.
I remember he skipped weigh-ins.
I'm looking at his hairy back right now on the television.
2008 World Cup. He ducked weigh-ins somehow, and they just let him make weight. That's Russia for you.
He does. Right? He does like a super duck without hitting his knee. That is as good as it gets.
Does he still do it even though he's this old?
I don't know. I don't know if he could do... Oh, there it is! See what I'm talking about?
Damn, but you must be a couple seconds ahead of me, because I haven't seen it yet. How many seconds ahead of me are
you? Everybody thinks they have to be quiet now that you and I are on a podcast. I told them to act themselves.
Tommy, I still haven't seen the Super Duck, so you must be ahead of me. Hey, so, in addition to, obviously, us being pumped about Adjulayev Snyder, the World Finals between... the United States and Russia, it comes down to that. So I think if Russia wins, it's a tie. If U.S. wins, then the U.S. wins
we
the
went
first
out right.
World titles. Oh,
so
there's the duck right there.
I'm going to repeat that to the group here. So
Tommy, you better not ruin this for me. You're 30 seconds ahead of me.
Gotcha.
Okay. So if Russia wins, if we win, we win outright.
So, hey, Ben, do you think our listeners mind the lack of professionalism?
No, I think they love it, actually.
You can get water, buddy. I'm talking to my son. Anyways, this is a good part one of the podcast, and we'll get more professional here in about 15 minutes after the Snyder match.
So obviously we just got done watching Chamizo Green ended up coming up short there, but damn, Chamizo has got to be one of my favorite people to watch, and some of those things he did against Green were just amazing. I mean, literally nothing short of amazing, Tommy.
Yeah, he was completely dominant. Not that I was surprised, but what did surprise me is I got a text from a buddy of mine, and he said that Green has a win over Chamizo, which is not believable after watching that match.
He does? I don't recall that.
I don't know if it's true or not, but that's what I've heard.
That last takedown where, and I'm still trying, I haven't replayed it because you can't replay in live format. I'm going to try to go back. But Green shoots a double. He goes to Wizard, and he limp arms back through, but I'm trying to picture how it happened in my head because I'm thinking Green was on the legs and he still ducks out the back somehow there, picks the angle and gets a takedown. I mean, holy crap.
Now, the thing is Chamizo was dominant and he displayed the dominance, but we can't go without talking about the tournament James Green had, especially in the semifinals against Japan. I thought he wrestled outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, and I had never seen the Japanese guy before, but then I just watched his bronze medal match. He is good.
Dude can scrap. He can scrap.
I think he's really young,
too. This is James Green's second world medal in as many – it's his second world medal in as many years.
He didn't win one last year.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, second world medal in 3 years. You could argue that he was a little bit distracted with the fact that he tried to make the team at the lower weight, then bulked back up, made the team very quickly, and wrestled in the Worlds in December, and just wasn't really himself. But he looked great. I mean, he looked the part the whole weekend.
Yeah,
or just the whole day, I should say.
You know, there's something that Nebraska's doing that's making these guys so good. And, you know, we're lucky enough. We actually have Coach Brian Snyder coming up to AWA to do. He's doing a clinic for us in a couple weeks. Man, I mean, just freestyle tactics. I mean, Green was never an NCAA champ. I mean, he got beat up by Imar twice that senior year. You know, maybe the score didn't show that, but that's kind of how the match went down. And so for him to, you know, so seamlessly transition to freestyle wrestling, and he's so just aware of his position. He doesn't give up stuff he's not supposed to, and he scores when the opportunities are there. So I guess, I would have never predicted 2 world medals for him this early after the college career he has. Or had.
No, and it's not the first time we've seen it. There's a lot of guys that had good college careers or excellent, depending on how you view it, but they went on and just jumped another level almost instantaneously in freestyle. And I just think that speaks to the small iterations and variations from freestyle to college are very different. On top of just the training regimen, Ben, you know, wrestling every Friday and Sunday for 3 months consecutive, you know, it takes a different type of physical and mental ability than perhaps the international scene. So there's all those things to consider.
Yeah, I mean, what if I would have told you, Tommy, that Kyle Snyder, that David Taylor and Kyle Dake had made a team and James Green had 2 world medals? I mean, you would have told me I was freaking in the loony bin, right?
Yeah, I would have. You are in the loony bin, but yeah, I would have said that you're double in the loony bin.
Hey, so let's get onto this topic that we disagreed with while we got a few minutes still to this match. The David Taylor tweets. Tommy, you hated them. I loved them. And not that I agreed with him, because that's not how it was. I just think wrestlers should have the ability to say what they want. I mean,
they should have the ability to say what they want, Ben. But here's the deal: at the end of the day, we have a United States national team. David Taylor's on it, and so is Jaden Cox.
Yes.
When we determine who's on the national team and they're representing our country in the World Championships, it's no different than if you made the World Cup team, Ben, in soccer. And they name someone else the starter, and you're the backup. You can't publicly say, "Hey, my teammate did a terrible job at center mid yesterday."
But there's been other.
He had no fight, and he made me sick. You don't do that. There's. I understand what you're getting at, but there's some semblance of team, in particular.
I've seen it go the other way. I've seen team sports where a quarterback calls out someone for not doing their job, right? An offensive lineman. So, you know, I don't get that. Where I went with it immediately, it was like, okay, Chris Pelento is my nemesis. And obviously with what just happened with David and Jaden at the World Trials, there's no love lost there. They don't like each other.
I don't doubt that.
If Pelento beats me and makes a world team, listen, I'm not going to cheer for him. Forget that dude.
The only thing I disagree with is the part, well, not the only thing, but the thing that made me adamant about the taking the position that it was wrong what he did on a public forum was when he said it makes me sick. It's like, dude,
that was pretty extreme.
His effort didn't make me sick. Could he have done things different tactically? Could he have put forth perhaps an inch of more effort in certain positions? No, but he was doing what he thought at the time was best to put himself in the position to win.
I mean, Jaden, if we're gonna dissect Jaden's style, and this is a 3-time NCAA champion, 2-time world medalist, right? So, you know, we're picking very small pieces, but the one thing Jaden's never done very well is he can't march people down, you know,
When he got put up on his back for 6,
yeah,
it's like, you know, put on his back and then turned. It's like he ain't coming back. And David Taylor is the type of guy that could come back from that.
On the flip side, though,
if Jaden Cox gets a 4-point lead, it's over.
It's over.
Over. You can't say the same thing about David Taylor.
Correct.
Jaden
scores a huge amount off of other people's attacks, other people's motion, tricky stuff.
Right.
But he's not a march you down, move forward, and go get you kind of guy. You know, that's just not
him. I got to get the Snyder match is going to get going here. I got to get these dudes in here.
Tommy, where the heck did they go? They don't want to watch Georgie
Kateyev? Snyder's up. Let's go.
Tommy, my Kateyev match just got over, so you must be well ahead of me. wonder if
so what do you want me to do when I see Snyder, you know, pin Sagalai 30 seconds ahead of you?
Maybe I could be ridiculous. But anyway, wait, to finish my thought on the Jaden David, I love that Jaden gave it right back to him after his
match. I like that.
That was fantastic.
The fact that we're talking about it, you could argue
is
and
positive.
I agree. Is it good for wrestling?
Yeah.
Perhaps.
It is.
Do I completely disagree with David's comment? No question about it.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. And you know, I did call this because I said David should become the bad guy. He's been the good guy for this long. Okay. What are you watching? What are you watching right now?
I'm watching slow mo of Katoya with his arms in the air. Now there's a crowd view. Are you seeing
I'm
that?
Watching him. No, I'm behind you. I said advertisement.
I'm 30. We're 30 seconds ahead of you. So when I see something happen,
stream.
You want me to pretend that I didn't?
No, you just go with it. And
I'm going to go with it.
You just
here
go
they
with
are.
It.
They're lined up right next to each other.
Are
Rocky
they really? You
Drago.
Must be way ahead of me.
Hold on. I want you to hear our crowd.
Get it!
Smile, get it!
Oh, damn. I'm
hey,
so far
hold
behind
on, guys.
You, Tommy.
Let's do USA. USA. USA.
Oh man! So hey, so Tommy, is this the biggest match wrestling's had
What's
in a
up,
long
ben?
Time? Is this the biggest match wrestling's had in a long? I mean, I can't think.
This
of
This is
one.
The biggest wrestling match ever.
It's too bad they should have just taken this, paused it for a month, done a lot of build up to it, done a lot of hype, and done it prime time in New York City
great.
Or something.
So yeah, Snyder's walking out on the mat.
Okay, they're side by side right now. Up. So man, I might be 40 seconds behind.
Yeah, you're about 30 seconds.
Dang. So hey, you know. Sagalive hasn't been looking great, but maybe he's saving it. What do you think?
What's that?
Do you think Sagalive's saving it for this? You know, because he hasn't looked great. He kind of slow played.
He's just having a hard time. Hey, hold on a second, Ben. Hey, Sagalive's walking out. What do we say about him? You thought you might want to hear that, Ben.
That was good. I love it. I love it.
Okay, anyway, he's walking out.
Excitement. Man, I am I'm timing how far behind you I am right now. So I think maybe it's only like 20 seconds because Sagalive's about to walk out.
TV.
So Tommy,
yeah, I think it's about 25 or 30 seconds.
I'm about 25 behind you right now. Hey, so Tommy, what's your prediction right now? Final score.
My prediction, honestly,
yeah.
Snyder's the winner. I think
score. Give me a score.
Barrel on this. There's so much on the line.
Give me
There's
the
so
score.
Much on the line that 6-4. 6-4 Snyder takes down.
I was
going to
say 6-4.
6-4. Here we go. They're slapping hands here soon, Ben.
This is brutal, Tommy. I can't believe you're ahead of me, and we can't watch this simultaneously.
Oh, Snyder is jacked up. Let's just say that.
I think you're 22. You're 23 seconds ahead of me, I believe.
I'm 23 seconds ahead of you?
Yeah.
Well, my internet just froze.
Uh-oh. Is it still froze?
Sagalive already has 2 points. We missed that. How did that happen, guys? We missed something. Sagalive is up to nothing.
Mine is not
Let me
frozen.
Know if you see it.
Okay, I'm about ready to start the match right now. Referee's in the middle. Shake hands. Let's get it on. Boom. Oh, Snyder is pumped.
I missed the 2 points from Sagalive, so let me know what it looks
okay,
like.
We got Snyder heavy on the left-hand collar tie, moving around. Oh! He got over
1 point for...
He got overexcited, was close to a push-out. Sagalive dropped down and got the double leg or single leg cutback,
okay.
I guess you'd call it.
All right. Sounds good.
Back to the center. So Snyder got a push-out now or what?
Snyder got a push-out, but my internet just froze.
I mean, if, you know...
This is... Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! We just lost our internet.
Oh my gosh! I'll carry you guys through it. So
yeah, carry us over.
We got 30 seconds in the match. Snyder's on that left hand collar tie, still pulling. You know, I think his idea is to wear him down. Circle snap, boom, push out, Snyder.
Yeah, so we saw that. Then our internet froze.
2-1. You got Terrell Dalagnev in the corner, getting fired up. You know, you can tell pretty clearly, Snyder usually doesn't come out this fast, that part of his strategy is to wear Sagalive down here. Just constantly heavy. Not taking very many attacks yet.
Okay.
So we are we're a minute in. It's 2-1 right now. Kind of stuck in the center, Matt. Sagalive drops in on a leg. lifts it up in the air. Oh, shoot. Oh, drives him out. We got a 1-point
push
out.
We got a 3-1. We got 3-1.
So he pushed him out. So Snyder stepped to the high single, and as he did, Sadilaev dropped him.
I think this is good. You know what I like the most, Ben, is that Sadilaev has to work. He's working already.
Yeah. It was really great timing, by him on that single leg drop in.
How much he's working for this early in the match, I think, is good for us.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've never really seen him get pushed to the brink, if you will.
I mean, he's working. Right? He's working. Been in so much
what
control.
What the hell is this? I hate it when the refs get in the way. What's this ref saying? Don't push on each other. Get out of the way, referee. Let the dudes wrestle. I can't stand it when freestyle referees feel the need to be engaged in the match when they're not necessary.
The fact that Snyder's able to hang on that head like that is good for us.
Yeah, I mean, I think Sadilaev is maybe so more comfortable in his defense than he should be, and that's where
Snyder... Takedown for Snyder, 3-3. Let me know what you think when you see it.
I don't see it yet, son of a gun.
sorry about that.
It's all good. No, do it. I'll hear the kid yelling at us. How did he get the takedown?
Ben.
How'd he get it?
You'll see.
You got to call the action, dog. If I can't call it.
He was about to get pushed out. He turned the corner and snapped him down.
Oh, nice snap down. Okay, front headlock position. Oh, he almost gets pushed
out. Come on,
Snyder.
We're over under.
Oh, how did he get that?
We are sitting pretty.
Wow. How did he get that one?
We're sitting pretty.
That was pretty slick there.
Come on, Kyle.
Tommy, I was kind of impressed how he shrugged him off there from that over-under position to take the corner.
Right.
Something.
Hold on a second, man.
Yeah.
At the break, USA. USA.
Well, Tommy's busy cheerleading. Well, I don't know if that makes for great radio, but we're going to do it anyways. We got their microphones, and you guys got to listen to us.
All right. I'm back, Ben. What do you got?
It's all good. I was entertaining the listeners while you were starting chants. It's good. It's perfect.
Okay,
it's perfect.
Good.
So I'm almost to the break right now. All right.
Oh, you're not even
I'm at
the break.
You know, one of the things I wanted to see in this time, we just hit the break. One of the things I wanted to see in this match is I wanted to see how good Snyder's parterre defense was. And if Sadilaev could get on top, what was going to happen? And obviously, we haven't came to that point yet. Cause the only take that I did get was out of bounds.
This is going to be interesting.
I think
Sadilaev doesn't get any exposure points, if it's just push-outs and takedowns, he's going to win. 3-3 going in the second period.
Tommy, what if it ends 6-4 and we both just called it?
6-4 would be amazing.
I mean, it's there. It could go push-out, push-out, takedown to win it. Sadilaev should have went for a takedown.
Getting a little slippery out there. We just started. Getting a little slippery. Do you think that plays to Sadilaev or Kyle?
Probably Sadilaev. He's
I agree.
I mean, but yeah, they're going to be sweaty at this point. We're freaking at 211 pounds or whatever the heck we're at. It's going to be slippery.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, my gosh. That was beautiful.
What happened? Takedown?
Wow, great flurry, no points. Great flurry. Phenomenal flurry. Both guys, no points. Both guys had great action.
So is that?
I think Snyder initiated it.
We got a shot, Sadilaev. Nothing back up to their feet. Come on, Kyle.
Oh, boy. We're on the edge. 2 points, Sadilaev. 5-3.
Damn it.
5-3. Well, we got 2 minutes to go, Ben.
Our predictions
are going to be correct. We got 2 minutes and 6 seconds to go. How much time left?
It's still 2 minutes and 40 seconds-ish. How did he miss that takedown, Tommy?
What's that?
How did he miss that first takedown?
Hey, don't touch the computer.
How did Snyder miss that first takedown on the go-behind?
Oh, my gosh. We are missing this match, Ben. We just lost our cast.
Oh, he stepped out.
What's the score?
I just got to that Sadilaev takedown.
Okay, well.
So we're going back to
Sadilaev. I lost my cast. I got to get this back.
Is looking pretty tired. I'll just take everyone through the rest of the match since you lost your.
We got it back.
Yelled the Russian.
Still 5-3.
Coach. Okay, Snyder's heavy on the head still.
Still 5-3.
Yep, still 5-3. I'm at 4 minutes and 1 second into the match.
I'm at 4 minutes and 8 seconds, so we're not too far behind you.
We're
close
ahead of each other now.
Come on, Snyder.
Tommy, you look like you're working up A sweat or something.
I'm running back and forth from the desktop screen to the TV. So I'm. Oh boy! Oh boy! Come on, Snyder.
Oh. Damn, he's so slick. That Sedgelab's so slick from that overhook. It's ridiculous. It almost you almost can't underhook him. It's crazy. Come on.
Okay,
Kyle.
We got a minute to go. 5-3. Match is on the line, baby. Come on, Snyder. If Snyder gets the takedown, he's
got
criteria, right?
He's got criteria. Oh shit! Ooh, he almost
come
got
on,
pushed
Snyder.
Out.
Come on, Kyle. We got 40 seconds, Ben.
I got.
Oh, no. Push out! Push out, Snyder!
Push
out, Snyder.
Okay, so
5-4.
5-4. So now, but a push out doesn't
down
give him criteria.
5-4. 40 seconds. We got exactly 40 seconds on the clock.
Oh.
He doesn't have criteria, obviously. Yeah, if he gets a push out, it's not good
not
enough.
Criteria.
He doesn't have criteria.
Not criteria.
He knows that.
Oh, how did he not finish that double leg?
Looks tired.
Sedgelab is exhausted.
Come
right
on,
now.
Snyder. Go behind. Go behind. 20 seconds to go. He's up 6. He's up 6-5.
I'm so
come on,
behind,
Snyder.
Dude. This is so frustrating.
Six whistle blows. 16 seconds to go. We're going back to the center. For the title,
oh,
baby.
He wore him
16
out.
Seconds.
He wore him out.
Come on, come on. It's so slippery out there. 10 seconds. Oh, wow, that was beautiful. Nice, Snyder. He's in an underhook. He's trying to stall it out. He did it. World champ, baby. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, dude, Ben, did you see it yet?
No, I'm watching right now.
Oh, my gosh. That was awesome.
Sedgelab
wow.
kind of gave up the last 12 seconds. Said,
of course he did. It's America.
He's got nothing for Snyder. Snyder wore him out.
What a
Tommy,
match.
We called 6-4. It was 6-5. We weren't too far off. Though.
What a match. Wow.
Nice.
All right, dude. What
Kyle
do you think?
Snyder. I think Kyle Snyder is a real American hero. That's what
I
think.
Oh, he is. This has got to be on ESPN. They got to put this on ESPN. All right, hey, Ben, I'm going to think about these people.
Has Sedgelab ever lost at the international level?
He lost way in the beginning.
Wow.
He got him. Unbelievable.
Wow.
The USA, outright world champs, baby.
Outright world champs. All right, Tommy, give me a call a couple minutes.
I'll call you in 10 minutes.
Text me first. All right, Tommy, you kicked everyone out. We're back. We got to tighten this podcast up. We got about 35 minutes. Man, where do you want to start? Because I don't even know where I want to start.
I mean, I feel like that was the greatest wrestling match of all time, in my opinion. I mean, Ben, I mean, let's start there. Do you think it's the greatest wrestling match ever, given all of the implications?
Man, that's tough. Like, strictly wrestling, no. But obviously
right,
with the implications, the first world title for the United States in how many years. I mean, these two are... you know, if you take one or the other out, because now they're going to be competing against each other pretty much probably every single year unless Sedgelab drops to this 92 weight class that they just instituted.
Right.
I mean, these are going to be the two of the best ever. I mean, they both already won. Now they each have 3 world and or Olympic titles by the age of, what, 21 or 22?
Right.
So when you look over the long haul, one of them could go down as literally the greatest ever if they keep tracking that way. So, yeah, I mean, as far as historical significance, this is one of the biggest.
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, so cool. I mean, I don't know what our listeners are going to think of it, but the fact that we did that live just was fun. I had a blast. Did you?
I had fun. I wish I wouldn't have been 30 seconds behind you. That was rough because I was like, every time you start screaming, like, hey, wait for it. Wait.
So when I screamed
it.
For him when he was winning, you didn't get to see it then, right?
Well, a couple times you faked me out because, you know, it was like when he almost scored, you yelled, and I figured, hey, he's going to score, but then he didn't score, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So, man, that
I'm speechless, man. I'm feeling the moment so much that I don't even know where to start, dude.
Well, let's start with this. Let's start with this, Tommy. United States number one, first world title since 1995. And then I had also seen a stat that the most medals we had was three since like 2004 or three or somewhere around there. And so we go
right
from three or less all of those years to six this year. What changed? What changed that fast? Is it luck? Is it – I mean, one of the things that comes to my mind is Russia's probably not doping as heavily as they were after everything that came out last year. Does that have an effect?
I think
where does it go?
There's a lot of things that go into it. I think USA Wrestling's doing a pretty good job developmentally. I think that we have a great crop of young guys that ages, like, let's call it 20 to 25 years old, 26 years old.
Yeah, but Tommy, none of these guys yet – have made a junior world team besides Snyder, right? Did Gwiz ever make one?
I'm just talking about the group, the thousands of guys from age 20
okay
to 25.
All right.
We just have a new level of wrestling at that age, in
sure
my opinion. And then we're seeing the cream of that crop. Cumulative scoring to me, even though we didn't dominate right away, cumulative scoring, I mean, Ben, we came out of a clinch – three-period era,
yeah,
starting in 2000 and fall of 2004 and ending like 2 or 3 years ago. And that's pretty much in line with our lack of success that we had at the international level.
Yeah, I mean
– I think that matters a lot. I mean, if Sagulayev
does, you're right,
wrestle in a three-period match, the dynamics are completely different.
Totally different. Completely. And obviously the one-point takedown versus the two-point takedown is gigantic.
Right,
which just switched, and that's the first time in history it's been a 2-point takedown, right? In 2012
right,
or whenever it switched, or 2013. I'm blanking on the year right there. You know, and the other thing is maybe there's less corruption because you know we saw the one Valiev match versus the Korean, but besides that, I thought the reffing was pretty good, and you know that's obviously a hot button issue. Even you know even as last year a few guys got robbed at the Olympics, but you know if you go back past that. You know, if we want to go all the way to the Colette-McCoy era where they were just straight stealing matches from people because no one was watching them, right? There was no video with this
right
stuff, and they were just stealing matches from people, and they can't do that anymore. Paying Cubans
right
to, you know, so they could win, whereas, like, I lost to a Cuban in the Olympics. If I would have paid him $40,000, I would have beat the Cuban at the Olympics.
You lost to Fundora, right?
Yeah, correct.
He was a bad man.
I mean, but so if you look at, like, we'll take him for example. That's a great example, Tommy. I think he has seven world bronzes. And if you look at
right
almost every single one of the times he lost on the front side, it was to a Soviet guy. So it's
right.
How many times was he actually the worst guy, and how many times did he get paid? And maybe it's all
right
seven he wasn't as good, but maybe a few of those he got paid because you and I both have seen very clear circumstances. I was in an elevator where the Cuban guy says to the Turkish guy, I need my money for losing to you at Worlds last year. I mean, I was in the elevator.
Right,
it
right
happens. We know what happens, you know?
Right, right.
And so, you know, everyone's becoming more and more aware of that, and so maybe that's not happening as often.
I mean, we had 6 out of 8 medals. I mean, 75% of the world team got a medal.
Yeah. I mean,
and that
hasn't
insane
happened.
How about the fact that Jordan Burroughs resurrecting from his Olympic performance and just showing the ultimate grit and perseverance and self-belief and getting back on top of the world is the second best story of Team USA. How about the fact that's the second best story?
That might
weekend
even be the best. I mean, that's a damn good story right there. You know, because there's very few people.
Yeah, it might be the best. It might be the best.
there's very, very, very few people, Tommy, who can be very successful one way and then hit a roadblock like he did and completely change what he does and be just as successful. And that's essentially what
right
he did this year. I mean, his hand fighting game is so strong. He put, you know, he can push on guys. And in that first match, he was losing that first match, Tommy, until 40 seconds left against Shabanov.
I know.
And, you know, but he
yep
was just pushing on him and wearing on him. His defense is freaking outstanding. He's just so good in so many areas. And he's, like you said, he's totally resurrected himself. And part of that is he's just so damn tough. He doesn't give up easy points.
You
he
know,
gets
I,
good,
I don't
he gets
know if resurrected.
To.
I don't know if resurrected is the right word, even though I'm the one that used it.
I think it's fair. I mean, I know.
Well, here's the thing, though, Ben. Here's the thing, though.
He only
Ben
had one bad tournament.
He had one bad tournament. He had a great 2016 other than one event. And he had a great 2017. He won the World Cup. You know, he beat Kyle Dake off the team. So in
no,
a lot
not,
of
not
ways,
in 16 he didn't. Dake went up in 16.
No, I'm talking about this year.
Oh, okay.
In a lot of ways, Ben, in a lot of ways, this validates that he had a bad tournament, and he was not necessarily on the decline, although I will say that he has had to change up his style.
He's totally changed his style.
And he did. It's like Jordan getting the fadeaway jumper when he knew he couldn't attack the basket as hard as he used to. And he found a way to be world-class in other ways. And that's what's amazing about Jordan Burroughs. His inner belief system, which shouldn't be, you know, a surprise to us, is, I mean, his mind is so strong. You know what I mean? I'm just so impressed. I told you this about a year ago, that if he finds a way to come back, you know, we were talking about him retiring in September, Ben.
Yeah.
I said,
I mean, it was debatable, right? Because he was the one who said,
right,
maybe I'll be back, maybe I won't. He was the one who said that.
I said, if he stays in the game and wins a world title, I will appreciate and like his legacy more than if he won the Olympics in 16. You know what I mean? Because
and you do. And you have to. At this point, you have to, you know, give him more respect. If there was a way to give him more respect, give him more respect than you did a year ago.
Right. Oh, man. What a day. What a weekend. I mean, it's incredible. And Thomas Gilman, I mean, what the heck? How did that happen? You know what I mean? There's so many things to point to. Just very impressive weekend for
let's run through. So, do you want to talk about women's and Greco? Because, obviously, I watched almost all of these. Almost all of these freestyle and matches, but I did not watch any Greco, and I watched just a little bit of women's.
I feel bad, but like in the effort of time to consolidate this to one episode, I think we should move right to the freestyle.
So,
I will say that women's wrestling to me, the skill level is much higher than what it was even 5 years ago, and Helen Maroulis was very impressive.
Yeah,
I do want to say that
how much better she was than everybody.
Right.
Head and shoulders. It wasn't even competitive.
That slide by to foot sweep that she hit, that skill that was viral on the internet, was awesome. That was awesome. So, you know, and then the Greco team was disappointing. I think the rules are double disappointing at the Greco level. And so we could go, you know, you and I, we get on our tangents there now. We could talk about that for a half hour. But I think in the effort of time, maybe you make a comment about Greco as well, and then we move to
freestyle. Yeah, I mean, My frustration with Greco is that it's just they're so good at it. Unless you fabricate points, they're not scoring. And I don't know if you saw that that article that Flo did, but they followed all the champions and so of all the matches that involved a champion in Greco, 52% did not have an offensive point. I mean, so
wow,
only points in the whole entire match were cautions. And that's like when you have a style that the very best guys literally aren't scoring half of the time. There was two guys, I believe, that didn't score an offensive point and won a world title.
Tommy,
think about it. They did not score an offensive point and they won a world title.
It's brutal. That's like John Lockhart when he beat me for the NCAA title. He won three double overtime matches without scoring a takedown, and the coin flip went to him three out of his five matches.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy, right? So, you know, if Greco's hard because unless you do forced parterre, or unless you do cautions, or unless you force clinching, these guys are just so good, and the skill set is so limited that they literally are so good that you can't score on each other. It's just so boring to watch. It really is.
Right.
So I don't know what you do. Do you make them clinch the entire time? Because that would make it entertaining.
I don't know.
Do you let them start in that ridiculous reverse lift that they did for a while, where they were just killing each other with bombs? Like, yeah, that was fun to watch, but it wasn't very freaking safe.
Right. I don't know, man. Let's go to freestyle.
Okay. Well, we talked about Helen was just so dominant. All right, let's go to freestyle. 57 kilograms. Obviously, Thomas Gilman shocks the world, makes the world finals. And, you know, when we were debating the the Taylor Cox thing, you know, one of the things I said is I didn't cheer that heavily for Thomas Gilman. I don't like him, and I'm not going to fake like I like him for 2 days just because he's an American. Now, did I cheer as hard against him as I did when he was in Iowa? Nah, not at all. It wasn't even close, right? I was like kind of half-heartedly cheering for him, where I was like, yeah, kind of indifferent. But I mean, he had a hell of a tournament time. I mean, if you think back, he didn't win the NCAA title. He goes to the Lance Chance qualifier and barely qualifies for the trials. He starts the trials.
He was down 6-0 at the break in the finals of the qualifier.
Yeah, so he almost doesn't make the trials. He goes to the trials as a 9 seed and wins five matches in a row, because the finals 2 out of 3. And then wins 4 in a row to start the World Championships. I mean, that's one hell of a run he went on.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously an amazing performance, and not I'm a little bit different than you, Ben, and I'm the same way with like Michigan football. Like when they play in a bowl game after the Michigan High State game, I cheer for them, and you know, I didn't appreciate.
How could you do that, Tommy? How could you cheer for Michigan?
I just can. I don't know why. I just cheer for the Big Ten. But that being said, I was very happy for Gilman. I've not been impressed much with some of how his dialect and how he talks when he was an Iowa wrestler, but he had an American singlet on, and I was fully enthralled with his performance. And quite honestly, I was a little bit inspired by it. I thought it was awesome.
Sure. And you know, one thing that I think he did very well, and I think you can say across the board, we kind of talked about this with James Green a little bit. We talked about this with Jordan Burroughs, is just great tactics, Tommy. I mean, really good, smart tactics.
Yep.
Working well on the edge, not giving up stupid points. And I think that's something that's huge, that maybe we as Americans didn't always do great, and kind of maybe we're beat on some of those nuances previously.
Right. No doubt. I thought it was great.
So, yeah. So, Thomas Gilman, good job. I don't know. Either, it's hard to say, Tommy, if he's going to become now an international superstar, or if he's going to make the team again, because, NATO.
He beat NATO with a couple seconds left.
And, there's a lot of guys in America are close to him.
I wouldn't predict that he's going to go rattle off 8 medals or anything. But I think that what we see is that Thomas Gilman knows how to give anybody fits at a world level. And so, he's not going to go to the international event and get his clock cleaned. Next year, he's proven that he can compete and stay stingy and tough with anybody, which there's something to be said for that, because not every American, quite honestly, very few Americans can go wrestle the best guys in the world and be in the match. And I think he showed that by the way that he wrestles, but his offense and the way that he wrestles is such that I could also see him not making the team,
because one of his best.
I thought it was incredible.
Yeah, one of his best assets is his defense, right? Which leads to a lot of close matches, like we saw with NATO, or who else did he wrestle super close at the trials? I'm blanking right now.
A lot of guys.
Graf.
Yeah.
Graf. Tyler Graf. So, all right. So let's talk about 60. I would say this is the biggest failure. 61. Biggest failure of the weekend. I mean, you said 6 of our 8 guys placed, and then we have a defending world champion who, damn, Tommy, he kind of went out there and got his butt whipped. And I know both these guys that he lost to are really good. Obviously, this a gold medalist, or a silver medalist, and a bronze medalist. But Logan did not look great. I don't know what the deal is there. But I was kind of shocked by how badly he got beaten.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised too. And to your point, and I think that we need to differentiate who he lost to from how he lost. Because who he lost to, quite honestly, as good as Logan is not overly shocking. I mean, what we knew Logan could have lost to any one of those guys in a world final.
That's fair.
You wouldn't have. But getting beat 11-0 and 10-0, Logan's been on the scene post-college 18 months. I think he's beaten 6 or 7 world medalists. He beat the Olympic champion at 65 kilo, I believe.
Yep. And when he was losing, it was like 15 to 12 or 14 to 13.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think he's lost by more than 2 or 3 points against anybody since he's been on the scene post-college. So, I'm kind of stating the obvious here, but the defending world champion getting teched twice was not on anybody's radar, including mine. And, it's close to my heart because I love Logan. He's an Ohio kid, went to Ohio State. I know him well, know him personally. But it's a result that I don't think anybody could have predicted. I'm flabbergasted by it. I'm sure Logan is too. The good thing about Logan is that he's great at rebounding. He's great at absorbing adversity and moving on. And so I'm not concerned. but I am disappointed, as everybody else is, with the result.
Yeah, and man, you know, it's not like he's got some easy fixes, though, Tommy. I mean, he didn't score on his leg attacks, which he usually does. He got scored on leg attacks, which that kind of has happened before. And then he got turned a lot, which that hasn't really – he's been turned before, but not as much.
Well, that's the other thing, is he didn't get caught either. You know, like when he got both matches, when he got tagged, he just got tagged.
Just
you
got
know
beat.
What I mean?
Yeah, so, it wasn't like a takedown to leg lace and then boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, something was amok there, so that's for sure.
Well, hopefully he can figure it out because, you know, obviously he was a strong point of our lineup. And so we didn't talk about the new weights were announced. Maybe we'll save the discussion for the end. But so 57, 61. 65, 70, 74 all stay the same. So our first five in the lineup, they are the same weight classes. So we moved to 65, I guess the other disappointing weight. But, you know, not really a disappointment. He won his first match. Funny enough, he wrestled David Habit, also from Ohio, or Slovakia.
Given where Rutherford's coming from, I know he's either one- or two-time cadet world champ. College, he's probably the best wrestler, probably the most dominant wrestler in college, you could argue, for sure. He lost to a stingy two-time Olympic champion, Batirov, who's past his prime,
but
you know,
he's still
the one
really,
type of
really
guy
good.
That can beat. Yeah, he's still really good. He's savvy, and it's like, it's one of those types of matches where you know that a young Rutherford's going to have a hard time, but I'm not pessimistic or lost on Rutherford's capability at the world level. I just thought, you know, hey, you know, he took one on the chin, and then I didn't possibly think Batirov was going to make the finals. And so the result to me is not negative. It's just kind of blasé, bland, whatever, no big deal. Rutherford's still a stud type of deal.
Yeah, and so, you know, this is where and UWW, I pick on him so much, Tommy, but they are they're making baby steps. They're getting a little bit better, Tommy, but then you still see, like, the Valiev match and the corruption. You're like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, but okay, but wait. Progress is being made, Ben.
Progress is being made. Progress but, Tommy, made. Wait. The no wrestlebacks thing, which I was in my one opportunity at the world, I was a victim of this. I'm sure you were at some point. But the no wrestleback, the repechage where only the guy in the finals, it's so ridiculous. We got four mats. They don't wrestle that much. Like, let's just say, I would have loved to see how Zane could do in a wrestle back, because there's no doubt
he
could have came back
fine.
And done fine, right? And so the fact that he doesn't get a wrestle back, and maybe if the Olympics limits you to a certain time window that you can't get out of, okay, I get it, right? But, you know, when we control the world championships and we can't do a real wrestle back, that's pretty ridiculous, because there's definitely no saying that Zane, you know, because Zane lost 4-2, and then Batirov lost 1-1, I think, or somewhere in there.
Right, right, right. I'm with you. I mean, I really, even though I'm with you, Ben, because I am, I agree. I mean, there's still some low hanging fruit there. I'm just not really in the mood to bag on the UWW, because I feel like I obviously I'm clouded with the American success, but I feel like I watched the Great World Championships. And I thought the wrestling was great, the scoring was great, the way the rules are much better. You know, but there's some silly stuff to your point. No wrestle.
I was happy that I didn't see any correct throws.
No wrestle backs, not seeding in its entirety, not having an overtime. There's some.
The seeding was pretty sketchy. Like they need to work on that.
No overtime. Just think if Snyder pushed Sadulayev out instead of taking him down. He would have lost 5-5. Like, talk about a cliffhanger moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that, no, 100%. So there is some very low-hanging fruit there that they could pick up.
There is some I agree. When you see the low-hanging fruit, it kind of gets – it's annoying. But
it's
so
annoying.
So much improvement has been made. I'm just not in the right place right now mentally to kind of get nitpicky.
Yeah, so let's talk about, since I do want to pick on them, that is my favorite thing to do. this weight class thing? Okay,
you
so they added 10 weight classes, Tommy. Freaking fantastic. I'm so happy they did it, right? But, like,
right.
What are they doing? Like, okay, so this – maybe I think – I thought maybe I was being slightly OCD, and then I told two other people about this, and they were like, that's the stupidest thing ever. So I don't think I'm being too OCD. So like I said, they keep the first five weight classes, right? And then after 74, they add in 79, which is awesome, right? Because there was this gap between 74 and 86 that was huge, and they needed something in there, right? But so they go between
right.
between 65 and 70, there's a 5-kilogram gap, right? 70 to 74, there's right. a 4. Then there's a 5 to 79. Then there's a 7-kilogram gap to 86. Then it goes back to a 5-kilogram, or sorry, a 6 from 86 to 92, and then back to a 5. Like, why can't they all just be 6s or 5s or, right? Like, why are there right, such random right. differences between the weight class? Why does it go 4 or 5, 4, 6, 5, 4, 6, 7? Like, what the hell?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it'd be great to hear an explanation. That's
There's
for sure.
no explanation. I'm convinced of it. They just said, let's just throw a dart at some weights that we need to add.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, think about it, Tommy. From 74 to 86, that's 12 kilograms, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So let's say, if you have to leave 74 and you have to leave 86, where are you putting the weight class, Tommy?
I would say 80.
80, right in the middle. 6 and 6. You split the difference. But you're making 5 and 7? Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense, right?
Yeah.
See,
I'm with you, brother.
You're
I'm
laughing because it's like such low-hanging fruit that, like, how did no one in the meeting bring
That's
this up?
The only thing.
How
That's
did no one bring this up?
Me. I know. That's the only thing that kind of – then why it's like, man, that's a layup. I mean,
it's a
why
layup.
Don't we just take the layup? You know,
it's a
like
layup. It's so easy. Or from 65 to 70, you just start doing fives, Tommy. 65, 70,
right.
75,
right.
80. So you move each of those up one, 85, you move that one, 90, and then you go 97 or 98 or wherever you want to put that one. It's,
right.
It's so easy.
Right.
Awesome. So, yeah, seriously. Okay, so, okay, so we put we talked about Green already.
We talked about Green.
We talked about JB already. So let's go to Jaden, your boy.
Jaden.
Man, you know, so obviously we talked about the controversy with him and Taylor. You know, honestly, he has a style where he just doesn't blow people out. I mean, even during the college season when he's so much better than some guys, he just doesn't.
Here's the deal,
he
though,
doesn't
Ben.
Blow people
Here's
out.
The whole dynamic bothers me, and this is your guy, right? I mean, I know you love him, but
that was
like,
awesome.
I just hate that he's. I hate that he's being discussed in a way where it's like because people kind of intuitively know that in a vacuum, in a perfect world, he probably has more to give, right? So we inevitably talk about what he should have, could have, would have done. And it's like, I get it, but the guy's a two-time world and Olympic bronze medalist at age 22. He's an outstanding citizen, role model, nice guy, articulate, good for the sport. It's like, yeah, could he be a gold medalist? Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? I'm freaking happy to have this guy. I love this guy. This guy's great. I love Jaden Cox.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I totally get it. And, you know, Tommy, I never won a world medal, so it's not like I have a huge amount of room to talk. But
right, of course.
To some people who are
Same
watching
here.
His
– here, Ben.
Yeah, so to some people who are watching his semifinal and saying, he can win that match. He can, right?
And he can, so, no doubt.
But
I
that's
mean,
what we do as fans.
Okay,
we're expert fans, right? But as fans – that's what you do when someone you want to win doesn't win. You say, well, why did he lose? And, you know, maybe you call them excuses or you call them reasons or whatever you call them. But you're going to discuss that point, right?
Right, right.
So
right, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm fully ready and able to criticize someone. And I have before. But I guess it's just like because Jaden has freakish talent. I think that sometimes it appears that he doesn't give as much as he could. I wouldn't say should, but as much as he could. And people question it, and it's just like, you know what, man? There's a lot going through your mind out there when you're out there competing. There's a lot of things that you're considering. And if it was easy, you know, then we wouldn't applaud champions.
Yeah.
But we applaud champions because it's hard mentally, physically, everything in between. It's hard.
Yes.
And so, yeah, does Jaden have an issue every now and again? Probably with pulling the trigger.
I don't think it is a pulling the trigger issue, Tommy. Like I said, I think his style is more of a lay back, take advantage of your mistakes, counter you, score on a tricky count, a movement, takedown every once in a while, right? But he's not
I agree. You know, that's a good point, Ben. And it's like when you talk about Jaden Cox, it's like no one ever says, man, he creates so much action.
Yes.
He really doesn't.
And that's
he's incredible. He's incredible. But he doesn't create action. He has great actions that are created by someone else. The motion, the momentum, the initiation of a flurry is usually done by somebody else that he's wrestling.
When he's losing,
he kind of looks like he's got two left feet a little bit, like he's not sure what he's got to do.
Yes.
Because he's not an action creator. You know what I mean?
Yes, 100%. And you know, this is exactly why he can have close matches in the early rounds.
And then
I think he gives Yazdani Chirati a really, really, really tough match. Because
Yazdani's
not going to be able to get out there and unhook him and push him straight out of bounds.
You're not pushing Jaden Cox anywhere he doesn't want to go.
Yeah.
You've got to fool him into moving. You've got to, you know, David Taylor. David Taylor can get Jaden Cox moving, but not with his brawn. And Yazdani Chirati is jacking people around with these underhooks and these hard snaps. I feel like the last person on the world that would work against the way that he wants it to work on is Jaden Cox.
Yeah. So I would really, you know, that, and I think a lot of people were hoping to see that match because, yeah, you can't do that to Jaden. You just can't. I kind of get the criticisms, but, you know, also that's what fans are entitled to, right? And me as an athlete, I get criticized more than anybody. I mean, I get 50 people harassing me on Twitter every other day about how
you do. You get mauled. You get
only
mauled,
fight people who suck. Who I only lay on people. I can't really fight. I can only wrestle, right? And whatnot. And that's part of being a public figure. That's part of people knowing who you are. That's part of people cheering for you and cheering against you.
Yep.
And so for Jaden to take a little bit of heat, it's part of the job, man. If you're doing that, you're doing something right. And I think that's all there is to it.
Yeah, I was surprised, given David Taylor's intellect in the sport, that his opinion of Jaden's semifinal match made him sick. You know, I mean, I know he wasn't literally sick.
Maybe he's playing the bad guy.
Well, that's fine. I mean, I would rather find out that he was doing that than he actually felt that way about what he saw. Like, you know what I mean? I would prefer that it's posturing, you know what I mean? Because I just saw a guy that got thrown to his back unexpectedly and turned and did what he could do, given his strengths, given his abilities, to win, and he came up short. That's what I saw.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's very, very fair, and I agree totally. And like I said, I loved it when Jaden gave it right back to him after he won his bronze medal.
It was great.
That was
and
great.
And I still like David Taylor. I've always liked him, known him since he was a kid. But you know that whole interchange that interchange, you know, I do not embrace.
Yeah.
I'm on the Jaden Cox camp on that.
And you know The one thing about it is I don't think they're wrestling next year because now with this new 92-kilogram weight class, I got to assume Jaden's going 90. I don't know this for a fact, but I have to assume Jaden's going to go 92. You know, he's a big person. I think that weight class, which – what is 92? I didn't even do the math yet. It's got to be like 200 pounds.
No, it's 92 times 2.2046.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna do the math. It's got to be around 200 pounds right now. 2.2046 times by 92 kilograms. We got 202 pounds. So I think that's a really good weight for Jaden.
That's perfect.
That's like perfect for him.
Plus, they got the weigh-in rule thing going where they weigh in 2 hours prior to the event beginning, which completely throws. You know, that's going to affect Logan Stever with the 61 deal.
You think so? He didn't look that big,
oh, yeah.
Tom. He looks smaller than those guys.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's interesting stuff.
Huh. Because that starts. Well, wait, Tommy, I think next year they get a 2 kilogram on the second day, though.
Okay.
Right?
Well, yeah, but I don't know. I didn't read all that stuff yet.
I believe it's next year they get a 2 kilogram on the second day, and then the year after that it's down to scratch both days.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So, Jaden, I think, you know, going up to 92. I am curious, too, if Sandra Live tries to get one back on center if he goes down to 92, because he did not look huge for that weight class. He would be huge for 86, but he's not huge for 97.
I think Sadulayev, if I'm him, I mean, just, you know, let's take a step back here. Yes, Sadulayev lost to Snyder in an epic fashion, but his performance at the Russian Nationals at the World Championships was not even close. Dominant and impressive as it was at the weight below. And if I'm Sadulayev, I mean, not out of fear, because he could beat Kyle Snyder. We all know that. Not out of fear, but just out of logic as a competitor, I would go back down.
So maybe if he goes down, Tommy, you can set up a super match with them sometime. I already tried my hand in professional wrestling twice and didn't come out on top.
Right, right. I think if I'm Sadulayev, I'd go back down. And not because he should be so scared of Kyle Snyder. That's not the case at all. I just think, you know, you make the most informed choice given what you know to be a champion. And I feel like, you know, I don't envision him cutting a whole lot of weight, a crazy amount to be the weight below. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't either. He does not look big for 213 pounds at all. So maybe we'll see him and Jaden wrestle at 202 for the world title next year. Hey, Tommy, next year is at the end of October. I'm pretty sure I'll be retired by then, so maybe you and I...
And where's that in? Is that in Budapest?
It's
going to
be in Budapest, so maybe we can fly over there and watch it.
We need to get a sponsor. We need to get a sponsor. Any listeners out there that want to get
we kind of got a sponsor because we don't actually pay ourselves for this podcast.
That's right. That's true. Right. So we got a little bit sitting around, yeah.
A couple bucks.
After
we take away production costs. let me give Jake Walters a shout out because we've been doing 82 episodes and he edits all of our shows. We haven't given him a shout out yet. Thank you, Jake.
All you and I do. Yeah, thank you, Jake Walsh. You're the man.
Jake Walters.
Sound better than we are. Walters. Jake Walters. There we go. Awesome. That's ridiculous of me. At any rate, just awesome. All we do is get on here and ramble, and then next thing you know, it's on iTunes. So that's obviously a big deal for us.
Yeah. Okay, Tommy, last weight, your weight, heavyweight. Gwizdowski takes home the bronze. Had a really tough match against the Iranian in the quarters. Good match.
Wrestled very well.
But God,
that Iranian was a little bit weaker. He's a little bit weaker than most number one Iranians, but it was a good match.
And then he ran into Taha Akgul, which, good God, that guy is good for a heavyweight.
You mean the Turk? The Turk, you mean?
Is his name Taha Akgul?
Yeah, he's the real deal. He broke in the finals, though. Holy cow.
That was an awesome match.
It was great. One of the best heavyweight matches I've ever seen.
Hey,
so
Tommy, I thought of a match that was better than Snyder versus Sadulayev.
What's that?
Snyder versus Gwizdowski.
That was awesome. I don't think it was better.
It was better. It was such a great match.
I don't think it was. It was a better wrestling match. It wasn't better.
It was
awesome, dude.
It was awesome.
I mean, I get it, Madison Square Garden, ESPN. I get it all, but like for the wrestling nerd in me, man, I just can't possibly say that Snyder versus Sadulayev for, you know, head gorilla in charge in the sport of wrestling, Russia and Russia and USA on the line in Paris. You know, that's just awesome. I mean, I can't give the Snyder Gwiz match over Snyder Sadulayev.
Oh man.
Snyder is just becoming etched in the fiber of the American wrestling culture forever.
He's an American hero.
He's like 20, what is he, 22 or 3?
I think he's only 22.
I mean, incredible. Just incredible.
Yeah. So Gruszkowski did a good job, man, but he's got a ways to make up. He's got a big gap to make up before he gets to Taha Akgul and what's the Jordan?
Yeah,
name?
But you Petra know, he I was very impressed. I mean, I'll be honest. I was very impressed with Gwiz's takedown to parterre transitions. He had a couple nice laces. He picked up very. You can tell how intelligent he is, how he approaches the sport. He's very. He's a learner. He's a quick learner, and he's learning the game at freestyle faster than I ever did. And I think that there's a lot to be said for that. So even though he has a long way to go against some of these freaks, what he showed me is that he's going to beat who he should beat almost all the time.
That's
and
fair. That's good.
That's pretty good at the world level. You know what I mean?
Yep, 100%.
So
final thoughts on Paris?
I mean, I lost my voice cheering for Snyder. I don't know if you can tell right now, but it's a little raspy.
It still sounds pretty good. Well, good. Well, I had a blast, too. I wish it were started. I did wake up in time usually for right around the quarters, and then I went back and watched the matches. I wish it would have been a couple hours later. So next year, if we go live, we'll get to watch all the matches. UWW's getting better. I'd really love to see some full wrestle backs and then maybe some continuity in the weight class, like every 5 kilos, not just a random jump.
You got it, man. Hey, let's get Jake to pop this on there real quick so we can have
email
people enjoy their weekend.
Yes. So Tom,
awesome,
and
dude.
Tommy, I'm
one.
Headed
Thank
to
you,
I'm headed to China in the morning. I'm headed to Shanghai fight September 2nd. So I don't know when our next podcast is gonna be, but maybe it's gonna be sometime after September 2nd. And Tommy,
good luck, my brother. Represent T-Row and Funky like you should in that case.
I will. Hey, I was gonna ask you one last favor. I was going to say, you kind of owe us Kyle Snyder, so now maybe you can get him on the podcast on that September 2nd week sometime.
I think we can arrange that.
Yes.
I think we can arrange that.
Nice.
And thank you, Defense Soap. I really appreciate the sponsorship, Dollimer Mats as well. It allows us to have fun with this and have it not be money out of our pocket, so thank you.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that. Also, Defense Soap letting us put out this content to the American wrestling audience. So, Tommy, have a great weekend. I will catch you when I get back from Asia.
Sounds good, buddy.
Thanks a lot. You are listening to the T-Row and Funky Show, and it is brought to you by Defense Soap. Defend what you've built. Tommy, I got to say, I tried these products. He shipped me a box. I love them. I've had, if you know me, you know I've had ringworm issues for a long time. So I'm looking forward to putting these in my repertoire and hoping the ringworm does not come back ever.
No doubt, Ben. And to top that off, the company was created by wrestlers. Guy Seiko wrestled at Cleveland State University. His son was an All-American in Virginia, so these people really get it. They know what the wrestling community needs.